We shall turn again to the chapter of the Word of God read, the second book of Chronicles, chapter 24, and we shall read again at verse 2. Second Chronicles, chapter 24, and verse 2. And Joash did that which was right in the sight of the Lord all the days of Jehoiada the priest. And Joash did that which was right in the sight of the Lord all the days of Jehoiada the priest. And in this text, in this verse, we have a summary of everything that we need to know about this King Joash, who became king of Judah when he was only 7 years of age and who reigned for 40 years. And the first part of his reign was very good, and the second part of his reign was very bad. Everything can be summarized in what we read. And Joash did that which was right in the sight of the Lord. That sounds so good. That's the way that the Holy Spirit ordinarily describes the godly kings of Judah, as opposed to the ungodly ones. Ah, but there's a qualification and there's a limitation. Joash doing that which was right in the sight of the Lord did not last. It did not continue to the end. He did not endure to the end doing what was right in the sight of the Lord. He only did it for as long as Jehoiada the priest was alive. But as we read in the chapter, as soon as that godly priest Jehoiada died, so did the religion of Joash the king. Jehoiada left, so did Joash's religion. His religion, for all that it accomplished, for the time that he was following it, for all that was done in a religious zeal for reformation, it came to nothing. It was but a religion taught of man. Here was a man whose profession of religion did not endure to the end, but ended in apostasy. Here was a religion that was influenced more by man than by God. Here was a man that acted out religion, but doing so because of human influence, not because of divine operation. Here was a man whose religion in external things, and it could not reach beyond external things, was through the influences of a man, a godly man, yes, but only of a man. And therefore, when the man was removed, so was the religion removed. There was nothing of the divine operation of the Holy Spirit upon the soul of King Joash, enabling him to continue in real religion. He was a man who for a time had a form of godliness, but never did know the divine power of it. He knew the power of an influential man, but he did not know the power of an operating God to work in his heart and upon his soul. And so it all came to nothing when the test came. Yes, Joash did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, but only during the days of Jehoiada the priest. And in the days after Jehoiada the priest, Joash did that which was evil in the sight of the Lord. Friends, if we have religion of any kind, if we have religion that at least extends as far as some outward works, where have we been taught it from? What is its source? Where are the influences from? Is it from external factors? Is it because of men? Is it because of some godly person? Is it because of human tradition? Here we are, we're engaged in a duty of religion tonight, being in the house of the Lord, engaged in his worship according to his word. But why? Remember the Israelites being questioned by the Lord that during their time in the wilderness when they fasted in the seventh month and other months for all those years, the Lord asks them. He does not quarrel. He does not say, you did not fast. Oh, you fasted. And you fasted and you fasted again. But he says, did ye at all fast unto me? Was it because of me? Was it because of a divine influence and operation upon your souls that you fasted, that you adhered to the worship of the Most High? Was it because you had communion with him? Was it because you had a relationship with him? Was it because the Holy Spirit had changed your soul inwardly? Was it ever heart religion? Or was it only the outward form? Was it only a religion taught of man? Did you just go along with others? Is that why we're in church tonight? Because we've always been in church. Is that why we're in church tonight? Because others expect us to be in church. Are we in church because those, maybe we've survived the loss in this sense of those that were influencing us to attend church. And by the Lord's kindness, we didn't stop when they were removed from time to eternity, unlike Joash. But what do we have? Is it just the remainders of man-taught religion? Or is it the real power of godliness operating in our souls? Well, here was Joash, and there's much to learn truly from Joash the king, much to stir us up to be seeking that religion, that working of the Lord's grace in our souls that we could never lose, that will never come to nothing. And in old age, when others fade, oh, the mere outward professor, either before he reaches death or at death, all his religion, like Joash, will come to nothing. It will fade away. You can seek for it, but there will be nothing to be found, because for all its show, there was actually never anything of substance in it at all. But in old age, when others fade, the truly godly, they still forth fruit shall bring. They'll go on being fruitful. They'll go on flourishing in God's house, who are planted by his grace. The Psalm 92, the Sabbath day Psalm, goes on to speak of. They have been really planted, and every plant which the Heavenly Father hath planted shall never be rooted up. It shall never wither away. It shall never come to nothing. But every plant which the Heavenly Father hath not planted, it shall, in the end, before death or at death, it shall be rooted up. Joash had not been planted by grace, and so it came to nothing. He had only been planted in the things of God by the influences of a man, a good man, Jehoiada. We need something more. We need much more than the influences of men to move us along in the ways of religion. We need God the Holy Spirit at work in our souls. We need the love of God shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost operating within us. That's the only power unto salvation that will not wane and weaken and diminish and wither and turn to nothing at the end. Nothing less than the new birth by the Holy Spirit. Nothing less than the saving influences of the third person of the Godhead, the Spirit of the living God, at work within us, both to will and to do of his good purpose, operating within our souls. That's what we need, and nothing less will do. If we don't get that, then everything else will come to absolutely nothing. We should be thankful, of course, as Joash needed to be thankful for the good influences that Jehoiada the priest had brought to bear upon his life. And we should be thankful for everything that the example of men and a tradition of church going and tradition of true Christianity among us in this part of the world still has some effect upon us. We should be thankful for it, but we should improve it. We should make such use of it that we don't rest in that. Otherwise, we'll lie down with Joash in a lost eternity at the end. We need to get something more than just what we've imbibed from the influences of men, whether living or gone. We need more than that. We need the Lord himself to be at work in our souls. We need a relationship with him. We need his divine influences to be breathing upon us. They are the only ones that will not fade and come to a miserable end. If we've got nothing more than Joash, then we'll end our course like Joash. Some great test will come in the world, and we will utterly fail it and end in apostasy, as he did, or we'll manage to get to the end of our lives in this world and meet death. And death will sweep all our religion away into the hell where it came from. And we'll follow it, and it will do us no good at all. Man-made religion will never be enough. Human influence cannot do it. It has to be the breathings of God's Holy Spirit in our soul. It has to be a living union with Jesus Christ spiritually, heart to heart, knit to the Redeemer. We have to be united to the head by a living faith to be real members of his body, not just influence for good by those that are united to him. The fact that Joash was so near to Jehoiada, and Jehoiada was so united to God through Christ as a truly godly man, that did not do Joash any good at all when it came to it. As soon as Jehoiada was removed, the religion of Joash was removed. It sank, it fell, it collapsed. What was holding it up, once it was removed, it had no strength in itself. It had nothing of its own. There was nothing inwardly wrought in Joash that would maintain his profession of the true religion. And so he fell utterly from it as soon as the outward influence of the good advices and counsels and example of Jehoiada, the priest, was removed. Oh, what do we have? Think of an old, infirm person, and they lean upon their stick to walk. That stick is not part of them. It's a great help to them whilst they have the stick. But take the stick out of their hands, see if they can walk now. They can't, down they go, they collapse, because there was no strength within them anymore, no strength inwardly in their body. It all depended upon having the stick, but the stick wasn't part of them. And Joash's religion all depended upon Jehoiada, but Jehoiada was not a part of Joash. He was just the external stick upon which Joash was trusting and relying to be religious. It was just human, and he was not himself. It was not the grace of God within his soul. And so inevitably, it came to nothing. And our religion too, if it's nothing more than that which is taught of man and relying on man and connected with men, however godly they may be, however close to the Lord they may be or may have been, if we've got nothing of our own, we can't get to heaven upon the faith that took someone else to heaven. We can't be saved by their grace. We have to get grace for ourselves. We have to have our own faith. We have to have our own living union to the Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. We must have our own experience of the Holy Spirit operating in our souls. Otherwise, yes, it might be that somebody at the end might be able to say of us that they did what was right in the sight of the Lord, at least in comparison with the ungodly day and generation in which we live. It's not hard to find that. People doing what's wrong in the sight of the Lord. If every day of the week's no reminder of that, look how much the Sabbath is a reminder of that. Here in this village, with all the ferry traffic going backwards and forwards, apart from anything and everything else. We're not doing that. Doing what's right in the sight of the Lord outwardly. But oh, do we have a living, true spiritual union to the Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ or not? Joash didn't have that. And so it all came crashing down. Well, if we look at it in more detail, we see that no wonder Joash did that which was right in the sight of the Lord all the days of Jehoiada the priest. Through Jehoiada the priest, Joash had been delivered. His grandmother, Athaliah, that had usurped the throne, had taken the throne and slain all her other grandchildren. What a woman she was, the daughter of Jezebel. And like Jezebel she was, and of her own character and cruel, to slay all her grandchildren. But Jehoiada's wife, if we went back to chapter 22, we would find that Jehoiada's wife, the priest's wife, had delivered this one grandson, this one child, from the murderous cruelty of Athaliah the queen, and preserved his life. And through Jehoiada and his good offices, they had kept this boy until he had grown to be 7 years of age. And it was then that he was revealed to Judah. And it was then that the land proclaimed him to be king. So his very life had been preserved when others had not been preserved. And Athaliah was slain, and Joash was set upon the throne for which he would hold for 4 decades. And it was through Jehoiada, and it was through Jehoiada's wife, that this wonderful mercy had come to him. And no wonder then, at 7 years of age, he would have felt so indebted, he would have felt so drawn, he would have felt so warm towards this man, Jehoiada the priest. And because he was so grateful to him as a person, because of what he'd done for him, and how he had preserved his life, and prepared the way to the throne for him, therefore, being attached personally to Jehoiada the priest and his family, therefore, Joash was attached to the religion of Jehoiada and his family. And that's why many have some kind of attachment to religion. Their attachment is really not an attachment to the God of that religion. It's not to the God of Christianity that they're attached. They're attached to family. They're attached to friends. They're attached to those who, because they have grace, have done them a lot of good and have shown them much mercy and much kindness. And they have a personal attachment to this person or to these people who are themselves spiritually attached to the Lord God and Saviour, Jesus Christ. But they're not attached to the Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ themselves. They're attached to the people of the Lord. They're attached to the people of the Lord because the good that they've done for them, the kindness they've shown to them. In Joash's case, it was an extraordinary mercy. His very life had been saved. And personally attached, he felt, to Jehoiada the priest. And so he attached himself to Jehoiada's religion. But you see, there wasn't much more in it than that. It was because of Jehoiada that he followed the Lord. It was not because of the Lord that he followed the Lord. It's not for the time that he served the Lord that he was serving the Lord for the Lord's glory. But it was out of indebtedness to Jehoiada the priest, who had shown him so much kindness and who guided him and who led him and directed him and had done so much for him. Jehoiada, as at this time, was now the power in Judah. And at 7 years of age, Joash did not have much power of his own. He was placed upon the throne. But he's just a young boy. What can he do? It's Jehoiada that's moving things along. We read the previous chapter. It's Jehoiada that gets rid of the idols. It's Jehoiada that sets up true religion again. It's Jehoiada that causes a covenant to be made between the king and the people and the Lord. A covenant in which they engage to serve the Lord. The priesthood and the kingship and the people of the land now, they're in covenant with God. They're going to serve God. And Joash just goes along with it. That's the flow of society at the time. This is the direction things are heading in. This is the force which is at play there in Judah. And he goes along with it. It's all he's known. That's the way Judah is at this time. In all the ebbing and flowing of the practice of true religion and the worship of the living God in Judah, as it sometimes rose and sometimes fell, it's on the rise. It's on the ascendancy. And Joash goes along with it. Oh, is that all we've done? Just going along with it. In the spheres in which we move, in the part of the community that we have most contact with, that's just the flow. That's just the direction in which it goes. The flow that comes to us from previous generations. Well, we went to church. Well, we didn't do these things, and we did do those things, and we adhered to this, and we were faithful to that because they were. And is there nothing more in it, dear friends, than just going with the flow, going with that cultural flow, going with those traditions of men, going with that which is in power over us and had power over others, except that over others, it was an inward power upon their souls, the power of love, the love of Christ constraining them to serve the Lord, to attend and frequent his house, to hang upon his word. Outward things are one thing, but inward things are another thing at all. And it's easy to just go along with the flow in outward things and yet have nothing inward going on within. Nothing in the soul, no exercises within. Outward performances of religion, but no inward praying, no inward seeking, no inward loving, no inward humbling of ourselves under God's mighty hand, no inward mourning over sin, no humbling of ourselves, no relying on Christ, no believing in him, no seeking him until we find him, but just going along with the rest, just going along with the flow, following what was done in the generations before us and some of those in the generation now. Joash did that which was right in the sight of the Lord. All the days of Jehoiada the priest, whilst the true religion was being established again, whilst in the land of Judah the Lord's name was known and the Lord's name was praised and his worship had been reared up again and false worship had been banished from public exercise, Joash went along with it all, and he seemed, as long as Jehoiada was there, he seemed as enthusiastic for it as the rest, if not even more so. It was Jehoiada that was minded to repair the house of the Lord, verse 4. It was Jehoiada who saw that the house of the Lord, the temple, was in disrepair after the abuse and neglect of former generations that cared not for it. It was Joash. It was the King Joash that saw that this was needed. He saw it himself. Jehoiada was not so concerned about it, but Joash was. And it was Joash that arranged for the collection to be made, for the repairs to be done. And it was Joash that required that the matter be hastened. But the Levites, the priesthood, they hastened it not. And the king Joash had to call for Jehoiada, the chief, and expostulate with him and reason with him. Why have you not hastened the collection for repairing the Lord's house? Here is Joash the king, looking more zealous for the house of God than the truly godly man, the priest Jehoiada. And it's very easy for someone who's got no true religion in their hearts to appear outwardly to have more zeal for the external aspects of the worship of God and the religion of God than those who are truly godly. All the religion of Joash consisted in nothing else but external things, outward things. Perhaps the reason why Jehoiada had not moved on with this matter, though it was a good matter and a right matter, perhaps Jehoiada had so much of concern with regard to what was happening in his own soul. Perhaps the sin that he was seeing in himself every day and was causing him to be so low and at such a time was getting in the way of getting on with the work of the Lord. Perhaps for the very reason that Jehoiada was a godly man, he had other concerns as well as the outward concerns. He had inward concerns that were taking precedence and putting his hand to the work and stirring up others to do it. Oh, how could he do that when his own sins were rearing up before him? And he was having to deal with pride, and he was having to deal with unbelief, and he was having to deal with every other sin that was rising up in his own soul. He was preoccupied, perhaps, with the warfare between the flesh and the spirit going on in his own soul. Joash, whose religion was only outward, knew nothing of such things. Easy for Joash. Just like Jehu, whose kingship and reign overlapped with Joash. Jehu in the northern kingdom. It's all outward. Come and see my zeal for the Lord, he says in the chariot, driving furiously to accomplish God's outward works. And yet nothing of the soul, no spirituality within. Sometimes it's not those who are most spiritual, who are most active in outward things with regard to God's church and kingdom. Good when the two are together, but the one can be without the other. Very much focused on outward things. The Pharisees were, remember, in the New Testament. But the inward things of the soul, outwardly, they were so busy painting themselves beautiful to men and going about the worship of God as they called it and thought of it, but neglecting the inward matters of the soul. But Jehoiada, having true religion, would have focused mainly upon the inward things of the soul and then these working out into the outward things. But Joash, whose religion was only external, only man influenced, only taking to do with the outward things. Oh, the Lord's house is not in a good state of repair. We must repair it. As if that was the be all and end all. Whereas God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. One broken hearted desire from Jehoiada in secret before the Lord was worth more than all of the busy flurry of Joash's insistent activity that the house of God, the fabric of the building, be repaired, and so on. These ye should have done, the Lord said, and not left the other undone. Well, Jehoiada soon ensured that everything was done and the temple was rebuilt and the money was gathered in abundance. Joash, then, a picture to us of what happens when our religion is only taught of men. Only taught of men. How it all came to a sad end as soon as Jehoiada was dead. When Jehoiada was alive, the chief influence upon Joash, understandably, was Jehoiada. And Jehoiada was for true religion. And so Joash seemed to be for true religion. But take away Jehoiada, and Joash is no longer for true religion. Now there are other influences. As soon as Jehoiada, at 130 years old, dies, and they bury him, then the princes of Judah come. To Joash the king. The princes of Judah, and the noble men of the land, those that had not been slain by Athaliah, but those who had been keeping quiet during the time in which Jehoiada the priest had his influence over Judah. Men that had no heart for the God of Judah, any more than Joash had a heart for the God of Judah. And they come and they make obeisance to the king. They bow down to the king. They humble themselves before the king. And King Joash likes it. And he welcomes them. Here they are. Oh, now he's king on the throne. And here they are, scattered around his feet, doing obeisance, going down low before him, exalting him. And no doubt they are speaking to him smooth words to win him over to their point of view. And then the king hearkened unto them. But Joash, are they speaking the same way that Jehoiada the priest spoke to you? Their counsels, are they like the counsels that you hearkened to when Jehoiada was alive? Are they giving you the same advice? Are they leading you in the same direction? The plans that they have, the suggestions that they make, are they anything like the plans and suggestions that you consulted with Jehoiada about that caused you to serve the Lord and do what was right in his sight all those years, as long as Jehoiada lived? Are they speaking the same thing? They're not at all, because they left the house of the Lord God of their fathers. And they went back to serving the groves and the idols, the things which Jehoiada had cast out of Judah. Through these young men, under the reign of Joash the king, these are brought back in. And Baal is served again, and idolatry is raised up in Judah again, and false worship. After taking such care of the house of the Lord, now groves are being built again, and groves are being planted for false worship. And after all the profession of doing what's right in the sight of the true God, now Joash is joining with these noble men of the land, these ungodly men, in bringing back the service of idols, showing clearly that the religion that Joash had never taken a grip upon his soul, had never won his heart. It had never been inward. It had always been only external. And when the wind was blowing for Jehovah, Joash went along with it, with Jehoiada. But when the wind was blowing for Baal, Joash went along with that, following the princes of Judah and their flatteries and their deceits. Joash is blown this way and that way. He has no solid weight of grace in his soul to keep him in the service of the true and the living God. Whichever way the wind blows, that's the way that Joash goes. He's like a wave of the sea, blown this way and that way. If the wind blows from the west, then that's the direction he goes. If it turns and blows from the north, he'll go that way or the east. It matters not to Joash. He'll just go with the flow. He'll just discern the wind and he'll go along with it. He'll follow whatever way it is. There's no solid base. There's no solid weight of true experimental religion in his heart. He'll just go along with whatever the way is in the land. And when Jehoiada the priest was removed, Then you see these princes of Judah. They came into the ascendancy, and they were not for the true and living God. They were not for the worship of the temple. They were for the worship of Baal and idols. And Joash so quickly leaves the house of the Lord, and he joins them in serving the groves and the idols. And because of that, wrath came upon Judah and Jerusalem for this their trespass. Wrath came, judgment came. The Lord took notice. The Lord that visits for the iniquity of the fathers upon the children. Seeing Joash backsliding, seeing his apostasy, seeing him giving up the profession of the true religion, seeing him being revealed for what he'd always been, just a sham, just a hypocrite, with an outward face of true religion, doing what was right in the sight of the Lord, but it was only outward, and the Lord hates outward religion that has no heart to it, when he's saying, "My son, give me thine heart." And that was what he was saying to Joash through Jehoiada all those days. "Joash, you give me your heart the way Jehoiada's given me his heart." But Joash never did. And in the end, it caught up with him. And sometimes it catches up with such people in this world that they apostatize and they leave the true religion altogether. However much influenced by it they may have been earlier on, they give up on it. And we've got enough examples of that in our day. People that have walked out on the house of God, walked out upon Christianity, walked out on the Bible, left it behind, left it, doing what's now not right in the sight of God, and no fear of God and no thought of pleasing God. They've gone. Oh, how do we know that we won't go too? If it doesn't happen in this life, if we have nothing but outward religion, taught of man under man's influence, then death, if life and temptations in life don't take it away, death will take it away. And it will reveal it for what it truly is, a nothing, a vanity, an emptiness, a sham, hypocrisy, just the form of godliness, when all the time we were denying the power of it. Even whilst professing outwardly the true religion, attending his worship, learning the doctrines, avoiding some of the most gross of the sins of the day and generation, yet never truly knowing the Lord in our own hearts, never having any spiritual inward dealings with Jesus Christ for our own souls, even though, like Joash, we knew those who did and appreciated in some degree those who did, as he appreciated Jehoiada. But as soon as their influence is removed, what do we have left? And when we die, we take nothing with us. Will we have true religion in that day? Will we have Christ in our hearts? Will we have the Saviour himself? Or all our contact with religion, all our interactions with Christianity, all our seeking to do what was right because it was only outward and never inward, only external and never spiritual, only influenced by man and culture and tradition, and never wrought and produced by the Holy Spirit operating within our hearts, making us to will and to do according to the Lord's pleasure, that it all comes to absolutely nothing and it collapses and there's nothing to show. For Joash, there was absolutely nothing to show by the end for all the years in which he had done what was right. Because he turned to do what was wrong, all the good that he'd done did not stand him in any good stead at all, because the good he'd done, it had only been during the days of Jehoiada the priest. It had been for other reasons than the right reasons. It had been for other causes than the right cause. It had not been because of the Lord himself and his glory and his rights and authority and for his love and grace and kindness. It had only been under the influences of man and culture and tradition and the way that the nation was going at the time. Because as soon as the wind changed its course, then all his following of Jehovah came to an end, and it made the Lord angry. And so the Lord sent judgments. He sent judgment upon judgment, but he didn't do it without sending prophets. Prophets that would warn the people of Judah and warn Joash that going on in this way of forsaking the Lord and breaking his commandments and transgressing them, that they would not be able to prosper. Even Jehoiada's own son was raised up a prophet, Zechariah, the son of Jehoiada the priest. The Spirit of God came upon him, and he witnessed against Joash, and he witnessed against the people for forsaking the Lord. What did the king do? What did Joash do? He commanded that Zechariah should be stoned. The Savior refers to it in Matthew. How Zechariah was martyred and put to death, stoned with stones at the commandment of the king. Joash the king remembered not the kindness which Jehoiada, Zechariah's father, had done to him, but he slew the son of that man, Jehoiada, who had done him so much good and had brought him nearest that anyone ever could to what true blessing was. But Joash had always been rejecting the real blessing, been rejecting the Lord, been rejecting the Lord's grace, been rejecting the Lord's sovereignty over him, been rejecting any relationship with God. For all that he did outwardly for God, for all that he went along with it and did not rebel against it as long as Jehoiada was there, there was no heart attachment to the Lord. There was no heart relationship with God. There was no working of the Holy Spirit in his soul. He'd never been converted. He'd never been effectually called. He'd never put his trust in the Messiah that was coming. He had never repented of his sin. He was never brokenhearted over his own sin. He had never mourned for his transgressions. He had never hungered and thirsted after righteousness. And now it was all so clear that when he's warned for the way in which he goes, when Jehoiada is removed and his sin is exposed and he's given over to iniquity, that he would silence now what the Lord would say. It's not comfortable, it's not pleasing him, it's going cross to his own way and will. And so he would have the Lord's voice silenced by having the Lord's prophet stoned with stones. And it's clear from the rest of the chapter that it wasn't just that one son of Jehoiada that Joash had slain, but his other sons as well. Perhaps they were prophets too. An uncomfortable reminder of his former profession, which he had now apostatized from, which had never been real, never been heartfelt. And now all this is being exposed, and then everything starts going wrong. And then there is war. Now there are invasions from enemies which have victories over Judah. Even just with a few men, God gives them victory over Judah with many men. And it leaves Joash with many a judgment being brought against him. And when they depart, they leave him in great diseases. So it's not just war rises up against him, but sickness comes. And when he's lying on his bed in his sickness and has lost all his strength, then people rise up and slay him on his bed. And they kill the king. And they slay the king. And not only in death is there shame for this apostate from true religion, but even in his burial. Although they bury him in Jerusalem, the city of David, they do not bury him in the sepulchres of the kings. They do not honour his body by burying him along with the other kings of Judah. But he's buried apart from them, as it were, to bury the memory of him out of their sight. They do not want his memory, his memorial to be recorded, not in honour anyway. Let disgrace and shame fall upon the name of Joash forevermore, even as the wrath of God abides on him now and shall do to all eternity, and shall to everybody whose closest brush with true religion comes to nothing more than what Joash had, which is never heart religion, which is only to do with outward forms, which is only because of the influences of men or tradition or culture, and is never centered upon a heart relationship with the Lord, revealed and manifest in Jesus Christ, brought home to the soul by the operations of the Holy Spirit upon the heart. For all such that know not these things, if they don't get these things, if they don't get true heart religion, then the way of Joash they will go. It may be it will be seen in this world, as it was with Joash, but it will certainly be seen in the world to come. Death will reveal it. That stroke at the end will show that there was nothing in it, absolutely nothing in it, for all that church going, for all that avoiding the excesses of sin of the day, for all that knowledge of the doctrine of religion, for all that choosing at times to do what was right according to God's law instead of what was wrong. For all of that, it comes to absolutely nothing in the end, because there was no real heart religion. There was no experienced acquaintance with God. The soul had never met the Lord, never been truly converted. And whatever the soul did towards religion, it never did it as a soul that loved or knew the God of religion, or the Christ of salvation, or the Holy Spirit of regeneration and sanctification. Religion that is a sham may look very good for a while, as it did with Joash, but in the end, it will be exposed. It will be brought out to everlasting shame and confusion of face to those who had nothing more than just these external conformity to what the Bible required. We need much more than that. We need more than Joash had. We need what Jehoiada the priest had. And we may have what Jehoiada the priest had. It's offered to us in the gospel. We're not excluded from it. We exclude ourselves through unbelief and unwillingness. But the offer of the gospel does not exclude any one of us. Whosoever will, let him take of this gospel provision. Whosoever will, let him come to the Lord. Whosoever will, let him come to Christ now. Those that have been staying away from Christ, even whilst outwardly having the name Christian, even those whose religion has been an empty shell, a mere outward profession at best, and never an inward experienced loving reality in the soul, even now, such are invited to come to Christ for true religion, to be acquainted with him, to come to know him, to come to enjoy his love, to be embraced by him, to lay hold on him by faith. Even now, friend, come. Come and he will receive you. Him that cometh to me, he says, he assures you, I will in no wise cast out. Oh, you say, but I've been a Joash indeed all my life. So you may have been, but your life's not ended. There's still the rest of your life to live. And if you carry on Joash-like, then you will perish Joash-like. But there's no need whatsoever that the rest of your life should be like the rest of the life of Joash. Turn and you will live. Come and he will receive you. Seek true religion in the power of it. Plead with him to bestow it upon you. Give him no rest until you have Christ himself set up in your soul to be your friend and your redeemer, your prophet and your priest and your king. A better priest than Jehoiada was to Joash. Joash had Jehoiada for his priest and it did him some good as long as Jehoiada was there. But get Christ for your priest, the priest who offered himself a sacrifice at Calvary to take away the punishment of sin for everyone that believes in him. The priest that ever lives to make intercession for those who come to God by him to save them to the uttermost. Have Christ for your priest and you'll never lose him. You'll never lose him through death. You'll never lose him through apostasy. You'll never lose him through unbelief. You'll never lose him once you get him, through ever rejecting him or going back on him or going back on his ways. Once Christ becomes your priest, dear friend, he's your priest forever, that you will never lose. You'll never lose grip of him and he'll never lose grip of you. Your interest in him will be secure to all eternity. It does not have to go the way of Joash. It may have begun his way. It may be that way right now, but it does not have to end the way of Joash. Grace is available. Grace is offered. Grace is pressed upon you. Salvation is here in Christ, a salvation which, once obtained, will never, ever be lost. Yes, he that endureth to the end shall be saved. But those who are truly saved by believing in Christ, they shall endure to the end. They shall never go back. They shall never decline from the way of the gospel. They'll never go the way of Joash. Get a new heart, and it will never turn back to being an old one. May the Lord bless his word. We shall pray. Lord God, we pray for thine help and aid to take to heart the solemn warnings of thy word, the examples that we are to take heed of and avoid, as well as other examples that we are to take heed of and follow. May we follow the way of Jehoiada, but not the way of Joash. May we then come to Christ and find in him a priest that will never leave us nor forsake us, that will do inwardly what Jehoiada could never do for Joash. Much he did for his external good, but never could he touch his soul. But Christ, this great priest of the New Testament, can reach our souls and speak kindly to each one of us and welcome us to himself and embrace us with gospel love, in arms that will never push us away, but will hold us fast to himself to all eternity. Lord, draw us and we will run after thee. Give us help, cleanse us from iniquity, bless the truth. Keep us this week, we pray. For Christ's sake, amen.